chapter 5 as we march on through this. I mentioned you'll be a little late, but we're going to get you out of here pretty soon. Just one other thing. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have communion. And we haven't done that here in a little while. We've had too many things going on. So come back tonight. Pastor Bryce will lead us in worship and just some thoughts together from the Word. And then we'll have communion together. And so come back tonight if you possibly can. Mike and Marcia French, nice to see you. Mike just got back from Russia from another pastor's conference there. And they want you back pretty soon, I saw. But anyway, thankful for your great ministry there. 2 weeks from today, let me just mention, we're going to have a special guest. We've never had this guy before, but Christopher Alam he was raised a Muslim and came to faith in Christ. Actually fled for his life from the country where of his origin, went to Sweden, and then finally made his way to the United States. He's an AG missionary evangelist and just finished a crusade in Mozambique with thousands of people baptized in the Holy Spirit and stuff. And he's going to come share his testimony. And we're believing the Lord for miracles and signs and wonders to come. So that's 2 weeks from today. He'll be here morning and night on the 10th of July. And so keep that in mind. Mark chapter 5. Last Sunday we talked about, and by the way, the new reading guide is ready for you at the information desk if you're reading along with us this year through our series, The Story. Last Sunday we talked about Jesus being the master of the sea and the storm as he calmed the storm. And one of the passages we read was from Mark 4. This morning we're going to read from Mark 5. Jesus gets to the other side after he calms the storm, comes into the area known as the Gerasenes, or Gadara was another name for this area on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. And let me just read through this passage rather quickly, and then we want to make some observations today. Mark chapter 5 verse 1 says, "They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes, and when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him or tame him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, 'What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me.' For Jesus had said to him, 'Come out of this man, you evil spirit.' And then Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' And apparently the man is not responding as much as the demons. 'My name is Legion,' he replied, 'for we are many.' And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside, and the demons begged Jesus, 'Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them.' He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs, and the herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off, reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus didn't let him, but said, 'Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you.' So the man went away and began to tell it in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed." I realize in our modern ear and sensibility, this sounds a little strange. And the question then would be asked, do we still believe in demons and demon possession? And I think we could all at least agree that we believe in evil. 2 weeks ago in a nightclub in Orlando, evil walked in, right? And 49 people were slaughtered. I think you'd have to say that was evil in a very real sense of the word. And according to the Bible, there's more than just some kind of generalized malevolent force at work in the world. But the Bible speaks about real demons and demonic forces and evil spirits that torment and bring terror and chaos in the world. There are supernatural evil beings at work. And whether you refer to Satan or the devil or the enemy or demons, whatever you want to call him, and whatever you want to call these evil spirits or demons associated with him, we know that they're at work in the world, and they were certainly at work in this man that we know as Legion. Jesus called Satan the thief and said of him, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." In John 8, Jesus said of the devil, "He was a murderer from the beginning and not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies." So Jesus identifies the devil as a murderer, a thief who's come to kill, steal, and to destroy, as a liar and the father of lies. The devil can only be about destruction and deception and distortion and death. That's who he is. That's his nature. I love the way Jesus said that. When he speaks, when he lies, he speaks his native language. It's the only way the devil can talk is with lies. That's his native language. You've heard people say, well, if his mouth is open, he's lying. If the devil's mouth is open, he's lying, because that's who he is. It's his nature to lie, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But don't be afraid. The Bible says of Jesus, John said, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And while I doubt this morning that there's anyone here that's demon-possessed, I think there are likely some folks who have been what we would call demonized, who have been terrorized by the devil, terrorized with fear, with thoughts, perhaps thoughts you can't seem to control, or thoughts of suicide, terrorized with worry and anxiety or depression and despair. There are plenty of us that know the feelings, again, not necessarily as a result of demonic activity or demonic possession or something, but we know the feeling of just kind of being out of control, of too much chaos in your life, or of so much emotional and internal pain that you feel like you're losing your mind, or maybe you've turned to cutting or some other excess or whatever. Maybe it's drugs or alcohol or whatever. You just want to run and hide or scream, and you find yourself then making poor choices and wrong choices, sinful choices. This man in our story knew these feelings, only magnified many, many times over. The devil had stolen or destroyed everything of importance in this man's life. His family, his freedom, his self-esteem, his health, his sanity, all of that is gone. Legion had surrendered himself and surrounded himself then with death. He's living in the tombs, torturing, cutting himself. Everything about him suggested destruction and death. It's interesting that the Bible says that he was cutting himself with stones. And Dr. Mike mentioned it this morning. It's only been in the last 10 years or something that I heard counselors talking about students, particularly young adolescent girls, were cutting themselves. And I just that was not on my radar. I avoid pain at all costs. And so I was really surprised when I began to hear about that. Mike, you mentioned it this morning. And here's this man cutting himself. It's the inflicting of physical pain, because it serves as a release of the emotional pain and torment on the inside. And I'm not suggesting that cutting is a sign of being demon-possessed, so don't add that to your list of worries. But I am pointing out that we see something of our pain in this desperately tormented man in Mark 5. I want you to see that we can relate to this guy in some sense. And if you're cutting yourself, young or old, male or female, there's an answer to be found for you in Jesus, just as there was for this man in Mark 5. He can deliver you from your pain, whether it's internal or external, and whatever's going on. So just bear that in mind. But we hurry back to the story here. So Jesus got out of the boat, and this man comes running towards him. That may have been his response when anyone approached, it would have kept people away from him. If a crazy person starts running at you, kind of screaming, most of us don't run towards them. We get away pretty quick. If you've ever had somebody that seemed out of their head storming at you downtown or somewhere, you just kind of move on, like, whoa, look out, crazy. So he comes screaming. The Bible says screaming at the top of his voice. We say screaming at the top of his lungs. So here he comes, but notice what he's screaming. He says, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." One of the things the devil does, as I said, is to deceive and distort the truth. Remember, he's a liar and the father of lies. So ask yourself, why would this man, or the demons controlling this man, why would they think that Jesus would torture him? Jesus was a healer. He had the reputation to be the healer. He came to seek and save the lost. He went about doing good and healing all that were sick and afflicted. He'd just been in Capernaum on the other side of the sea, healing people and delivering people. And so where did they get the idea that Jesus had come to torture or to hurt anyone? And the answer is, came from the devil, who's a liar about everything, right? The devil was then and still is lying about Jesus, distorting the truth about Jesus and who He is and what He's come to do in your life and in this world. Jesus came to seek and save the lost and to heal the hurting and the broken and to set the captive free. He didn't come to torment you. John 3 says He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Jesus came to set you free from your bondage, not to enslave you. He came to bring you hope, not to limit you, but to take the limits off so you can be everything God intended and designed and desired you to be. It was the devil who was doing the tormenting, not Jesus. So it's a sign of that distortion that this man's whole worldview says, oh, I know Jesus has come because He's a tormentor. He's come to terrorize me. Don't come and torture me. Swear to God you won't torture me. And Jesus comes to set him free instead. So here's this broken man screaming and tormented. And I ask again, can we find ourselves in this man's condition and in his story? I'm not suggesting that you're demon possessed, but can we find ourselves in the desperation of this man? Look at his condition. He was more dead than alive. He was living among the dead in the tombs. These were likely, there are caves along that side of the Galilee. If you go with us next year, we'll show you the caves. They're up there on the side of the hill. And everything about this man, he identified more with the dead than with the living. Just a little side note here. If you're surrounding yourself with music and media and video games, so that may put you under the age of 50, but if you're surrounding yourself with music and image and video games and media that glorify death more than they glorify life, you may want to think about making a change. Because you're surrounding yourself with something, you may be opening the door to something that's not wise for you. But in addition to that, to ask you, do you feel dead on the inside? Because this guy felt more dead than alive, I can tell you. He was unclean. The Jews would have considered him unclean because he was living among the dead. So physically or spiritually, ceremonially, they would have called him unclean. But he was spiritually, emotionally, physically himself, no doubt, unkempt and unclean. Mistreated. The townspeople, no doubt, had done it for their own safety, but they had chained him up and tied him. It literally would be more accurate to read, no one was able to tame him. They used the word that was used for trying to tame a wild animal. And I'm sure they were trying to protect themselves, but he had been mistreated and misunderstood. He'd been physically bound, chained like a wild animal, but also bound by the devil and demonic voices and thoughts and actions. Isolated from his family, from society, forced to live alone in the tombs. Think how long it had been since anyone had looked this man in the eye. Think how long it had been since anyone had touched him with kindness, to physically touch him in a kind, gentle way, or to have a kind word to him. He was totally cut off from that. Estranged from family. His family had just had to cast him out, to write him off. Jesus speaks of his family in verse 19, but he hasn't been around them in so long he couldn't be around them. And imagine the pain he felt and the pain that his family was enduring. And finally, just pulled apart by an inward spiritual battle. And maybe we can't identify with demons controlling us, but maybe we can identify with something that Eugene Lowry wrote in kind of paraphrasing the demoniac's response to Jesus. He wrote, I feel like 6,000 soldiers inside me, and sometimes they march left and sometimes right, sometimes in all different directions. I'm pulled one way, then another. There's an army inside me, and I think I'm losing the war. And Mike, I would imagine there have been people that have expressed that to you, and I know they have to me. It feels like there's an army inside, and I'm losing the war. You're not demon-possessed, but you feel more dead than alive on the inside. You feel unclean because of the way you've been living, the life you've been living. You've been mistreated. Maybe you've been abused by someone or misunderstood by others. You feel bound and trapped and isolated and cut off and unwanted. You're estranged from family. pulled apart by conflicting thoughts and desires. Your whole life feels like there's a storm going on inside your brain or inside your chest. You know something of how this man felt. You're just overwhelmed with all this. Is there any hope for you? Because nobody thought there was hope for this man. It was a hopeless situation. The whole town had given up on him. His family and friends had given up on him. There was nothing else to do but write him off. And then Jesus got off a little boat on the shore and everything changed for this man. Let me tell you, don't give up hope. For that family member that's wandering somewhere downtown or whatever, homeless and living on the street, somebody that's in such desperate thing, controlled by evil thoughts or demons or whatever you want to call it, just controlled by addiction and brokenness and terror. Listen, Jesus can still do what no other power can do. He's master of every spirit and every storm. So look at this real quickly and we'll wrap it up. First of all, notice that demons always recognize Jesus' authority. They have to. They weren't trying to do battle with Jesus, and it's Hollywood. Hollywood did this, all right? Hollywood came up. They needed to make the battle seem more tense. And so Hollywood's the one who came up with the idea that the forces of good and the forces of evil are somehow equal and opposing forces. And so, you know, you've got all kinds of horror movies and you've got the priest who's, you know, his face starts to melt and he's holding the crucifix up and trying to do something. He gets thrown out the window as somebody's head turns around and all that stuff and demon forces and all that. And it's made it like, oh, this is too scary and what's going to happen and is good going to triumph? Listen, read the story. The demons begged Jesus. There wasn't any battle going on. Jesus wasn't trying to withstand the forces and overcome the enemy somehow or another. The demons were begging Jesus again and again, the scripture says, don't send us out of this area. There was no conflict going on here. All he had to do was speak the word. Don't let anybody deceive you into believing that somehow the devil is a match for Jesus. It's just not the truth. Jesus said, Paul said in the book of Colossians, Jesus is before all things and above all things, and in Him all things hold together. God gave Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue confess. He rules over powers and principalities and authorities and spiritual darkness and rulers. And so James chapter 2 verse 19 says, demons believe and tremble. It's only humans that fail to recognize the authority of Jesus and who He really is. The demons know who He is and they tremble and they beg Jesus because He was Master and Lord, Son of the Most High God. What are you doing here? Don't torment us. Don't hurt us. They knew, and the devil and the demons of hell all know it, that Jesus is master over every spirit. And then the second thing is that demons look for opportunity. Ephesians 4 says, give no opportunity to the devil. NIV says, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him a base of operations. When you open the door of your life, I'm not talking about demon possession here, but I'm talking about when you open the door of your life and you allow Satan an entrance, whether it's just through compromise or sin or whatever, you allow him in and then he's not willing to just hold on to a little space. He wants to take over and run things. Don't give place to the devil. The devil looks for opportunity to gain control, to gain influence in a person's life, in a community, in a nation, in an institution. And once the door is open, the devil capitalizes on that opportunity to expand control. Don't give the devil opportunity. This is what happened in this man. And apparently, at least in our text, it's what happens in the geographic region of the Gerasenes. That these evil forces had established control there. And notice the man goes from speaking in a singular sense to plural, my name is Legion, and then all of a sudden it's for we are many. A Roman legion was 6,000 men. And so this demon indicates there are many of them terrorizing this man and his life and his mind. And while it sounds ominous, remember again that the demons begged Jesus not to send them out of the area. That a legion of demons, if that's 6,000 or 600, that doesn't matter. But a legion of demons are no match for Jesus. He's still the master over all. He just speaks the word. The demons said they didn't want to be sent out of this area. The Bible mentions in another place that demons wandering in dry places. No life in those dry places. And they don't have anything to do with life. And apparently the demons don't want to be without a host. Whether that's an area that's happy to see them and honoring of evil spirits or a person or whatever. And so they were claiming this territory as their own. Don't send us out of this area. We like it here. Why? Because they were welcome there. This was part of the Decapolis, which were 10 Roman cities. So the Romans didn't honor the living God. They worshipped idols and gods of... They had a whole array of gods, even an unknown God. That was just their deal. All kinds of sexual immorality, and they'd kind of institutionalized sexual practice. So there were temple prostitutes and all that kind of stuff. So there was wickedness and evil, infanticide going on, all kinds of terrible things happening in that culture. They had opened the door then to the enemy's control. They didn't want to leave there. But Jesus had come and their influence was being broken. He was establishing His rulership and reign in the heart of one man. And listen to what I'm telling you this morning. Just one believer surrendered to Jesus can wreck the demonic reign of a legion of demons. They were afraid about what was going to happen because Jesus was setting this man free. Demons can't help but sow chaos, destruction, and death. And the demons begged Jesus to allow them to go into a herd of pigs feeding on the hillside. They said, "We want to stay in this area. Just don't send us away. Don't send us away." Remember I said they needed a host. They needed... We don't understand all this. It's beyond us. It's talking about a spiritual realm that we're trying to explain. Here we are, you know, physically limited by all this. But somehow or another, they're saying, "We don't want to leave this area. Just let us go into the pigs and we'll live in them." And so, one comedian said it's where deviled ham came from. But anyway, so they send them into the pigs, and the pigs immediately stampede down the hillside and down off the hillside and down into the Sea of Galilee, and they all drown. Now, the very thing that they didn't want to happen, they didn't want Legion to die. They wanted to control him. So they say to Jesus, "Oh, don't send us away. Don't send us to hell. Let us stay here in the region. We'll just live in the pigs and be content there." But then they couldn't help themselves and they drown the pigs that they're living. Either that or the pigs had such good sense they said, "We'd rather be dead and turned into spam than to live with the devil." I don't know. But think about that. The devil can't help but act in ways that are destructive. It's just who he is. He's a liar. He's come to kill and steal and to destroy. He can't help himself. You can't bargain with him. You can't negotiate with him because it's his very nature to lie to you and to try to destroy you and to kill you, to terrorize you, to harm you. That's who he is. You won't outsmart him. You won't outbargain him. You can't win. Stay away from him and stay close to Jesus. But notice this, that while the devil can't help but destroy, Jesus can't help but bring life, because that's who he is. He said, "I'm the way and the truth and the life." Satan came to kill and to destroy. Jesus came to give us life, and that more abundantly. And Jesus set this man free. The demons are gone. The townspeople come to see what's happened, mostly to see about their pigs. But they found this man clean, bathed, dressed, restored in his right mind. And just like the storm on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus calmed the storm in this man's heart and mind and spirit. The townspeople are overwhelmed. They're frightened. They've never seen anything like this. They don't know what to do with someone that has this kind of power and authority. They cared more about their pigs and prophet than they did about this man or about what might happen in their lives if they had said, "Jesus, stay and show us how to live free. Stay and show us how to win against the enemy. Come show us how to be people that follow after you." The same things that have been happening in Capernaum would have happened there. He would have healed their sick and delivered them from bondage. But instead they ask him to leave. And verse 18 shows Jesus getting in the boat about to leave. And the man, now delivered and whole, begged Jesus to take him with him. I can imagine him saying, I can't go home. I don't have a home to go home to. I've burned every bridge behind me. I've got nobody. I've hurt anybody that ever got close to me. Nobody loves me anymore. I've caused everyone so much grief and so much sorrow and embarrassment and shame. Just let me go with you, Jesus. And Jesus says, go home. Go home and watch what happens. Go home and show them and tell them what the Lord has done and how He's had mercy on you. They'll understand when they see you. Go home. Go home. And not only did he go home to his family, but then he began to tell everybody in those 10 Roman cities around the Galilee, "The rabbi of Capernaum delivered me. I was out of my mind. I was full of the devil. and Jesus delivered me. He even has power over the legions of hell. Friends, Jesus is the master of the storm today. He has power over natural forces like wind and waves on the Galilee, but that's not all. He has power over the supernatural forces of the enemy. He's a master of the storm. And that storm the devil's tried to release into you and on you, the fear and the worry, the anxiety, the depression, the despair, the thoughts of suicide, those uncontrolled thoughts that you just don't know how I'm going to get through this. Listen to me. Jesus comes to speak peace into that kind of storm as well. And no devil and no demon and no power of hell can stand against Jesus and His power. The authority of hell and the works of the devil have been defeated and broken. We quoted it earlier in the service. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus, by His death on the cross, Hebrews 2 says, destroyed the power of the devil and freed us from that slavery and bondage to sin. And Jesus said in John 8 that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There is freedom for us today. If there's bondage in your life, if the enemy is trying to destroy you and terrorize you, listen to what I'm telling you. Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil, and there is victory and hope for you today. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, and I know it's late, but we're going to wrap this up quickly. But if you're here this morning and there is, I said at the earlier part of the service that the devil was a bully and a terrorist. And if there's stuff going on in your life that he's terrorizing you, if there's fear, despair, depression, if there's a battle going on, if the devil's bullying you and mistreating you, if there's bondage and you need to be free, I want you to slip out and come and just stand here where we can pray for you this morning. Would you do it quickly this morning? Because I know it's late, but come on, the devil's warring against you and you need deliverance. You need victory today. You need to be set free. Maybe there's addiction. Maybe there's bondage to something. Maybe there's chemical dependency or alcoholism. Maybe it's something else or whatever. But there's a war going on. If you identify with anything I said before, that it feels like there's an army inside marching, there's a battle going on and you're losing the battle, then that's who we're talking about this morning. I know that feeling of just waking up and feeling like you are overwhelmed and you're in despair. I know what it is to battle with depression and fear. I know what it is to have anxiety attacks. I understand all that. And so I know what we're talking about today. But I know one who still can set the captive free. Amen? Come on, there's still room for you up here. You need to come. This is a moment for you. I've been praying for this. I woke up early this morning praying, Lord, liberate somebody. Let this be a day of decision, a day of victory. In the name of Jesus, I believe this is the day. I believe this is the day for you. That He wants to set you free. Those thoughts of suicide, those thoughts of despair, those thoughts of that your self-worth is just gone. You despise yourself and you're just living in some kind of defeat all the time. He wants to set you free this morning. I believe it today. We've got folk that are mental health professionals in this church. We got psychiatrists and counselors and therapists. I'm not asking you to come do therapy, but I'm asking you to come stand with some of these today because you believe that Jesus can set captives free. And I want you to come. Some of you elders, some of you that know what I'm talking about, come and stand with these. You pastors, come and pray for them today. Lay hands upon them today. We're going to believe God to set the captive free today. Amen. Stretch your hands toward these folk. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe you today that this is a day of release. This is a day of release in the name of Jesus. We take authority over bondage. We take authority over fear. We take authority over thoughts that have troubled us, that have brought despair. In the name of Jesus, I believe you today. Set us free. Loose us today from the chains of the enemy, from every evil thought, Lord. That we feel more dead on the inside than we do alive. Come set us free. Break these shackles from us and let us walk in your freedom today. God, come and do what no other power can do. In the name of Jesus, be free today. The devil has no hold over you. In the name of Jesus, we stand in the freedom that Christ brings to us, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed today. We cast off the shackles and bondage. We cast off what the enemy's tried to do to bind us up somehow or another. Be free today in the name of Jesus. I command the enemy to go, to take his hands off of this man today. I believe you for victory, for release to come in the name of Jesus. We're not shackled any longer. We're not going to stay bound to an old way of life. There's a new life and a new walk and a new existence. There's a future for us. All this old stuff is past. Let us walk in that new future in the name of Jesus. Oh, set her free today in her mind and spirit today. Let fear go in the name of Jesus. Let fear go in Jesus' name. Every tormenting thought to go in the name of Jesus. Every tormenting thought to go. Let there be a release in the name of Jesus. Set her free today, Lord. In Jesus' name, that pain that is bundled up, it breaks apart in the name of Jesus. And there's freedom that comes now. Freedom that comes now. Oh, set him free today, Lord. Shackles that have bound us, Lord, we break those shackles in the name of Jesus. Devil, you have no authority over us. We claim it in the name of Jesus for release and freedom to come to us today. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe you to set us free. Lord, there's hope for us today. Shackles to be broken and freedom to come. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to, hear what I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. There's freedom for us today. There's freedom for us today. The bondage has to be broken. There's freedom for us today. It doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't matter what mom said, dad said. Doesn't matter what the counselor said. Doesn't matter what the attorney said. What the judge said. Doesn't matter what hell says. It doesn't have to be that way. Jesus comes to give us life and that more abundantly. He comes to give us hope today. And there's hope for every child of God. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. Dare to walk with Him. Do what Legion said. Let me just go with you. Jesus said, no, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you to your home, and I'm going to go with you around the Decapolis. We're going to walk together. And He's going to walk with you. He's going to walk you through this stuff you're in and out of it if you'll just obey Him and walk with Him. Walk with Him in obedience. There's something better ahead for you. There's something in store for you. There's victory for you. There are better things ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give Him thanks and praise this morning. Lord, I thank You and praise You that there are better things ahead for us today. Thank You, Lord, for choices that have been made here. It starts here, Lord, as you release victory and deliverance into the hearts and lives of Your people. Lord, we claim that victory today. Now we have to walk it out. Now we have to walk it out. And by Your grace, Lord, Legion's not going back to the tombs. He's not going back to old influences. He's not going back to the stuff that got him in that hole to begin with. Lord, help us to walk out of this place in Your mercy and grace. And stay committed to You and abide in You and let Your peace and let Your wisdom guide us in the days ahead. We choose to walk with You. That's what Legion was saying. Lord, just let me go with You. No, go home, but I'm going to walk with You. My spirit's going to dwell with You and I'm going to lead You. He walked in that straight path. Friends, Just walk with Jesus. Just obey Him and start walking with Him a day at a time and watch what He does. He has a good plan for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you victory. Don't go back to that old stuff, but walk in that freedom that He provides. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. And amen. God is good and His mercy endures forever, and we can know it and we can rest in that mercy. Come back tonight for communion. You need that spiritual nourishment. We'll see you at 6 tonight. God bless you and have a great afternoon. Amen.